Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message I'm sharing with you today is part two of More Than Conquerors. If we're going to accomplish God's plan for our lives, we must understand who we are in Christ and that we are more than conquerors. God has determined that we should be the head and not the tail, yet many of God's children live below the threshold of God's best and they settle for less. In this message, I want to remind you who you are in Christ, that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus, and that through Him you can accomplish all things, your calling and your purpose. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Despite the giants, despite the walled cities, the land can be taken. The land can be overcome. God was for them. And if God was for them, how on earth can anyone be against them? So they concluded that God would give them the land. The other 10 were the naysayers, correct? The negative Nancys. Boy, you're always going to have them. If you ever step out and follow God, trust Him, you're going to have always face negativity. Amen? 10 spies concluded the giants and the fortified cities. Now think about this. God commanded them to go. God understands the circumstances. God understands the challenges. He says to them, go. But look what they conclude. They conclude this. The land is too difficult to take. The giants are too big. The city walls are too high. There's no way on earth we can go in and we can succeed. And so they go opposite against the promises of God. Unlike Joshua, unlike Caleb, the other spies, their attitude was still in Egypt. Their mindset, their attitude was that of a slave. They couldn't understand how they could overtake this fortified nation, this country full of giants. Joshua and Caleb, they had that attitude of a conqueror. They're like, who cares? What does it matter what they look like, how they're armed? We can go in. God is for us. But the others, they had the mindset of a slave. Church, it's important for each and every one of you to understand who you are in Christ. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. Very few people, I'm going to say this, very few people possess this attitude. Very few people in our church, and that's why I want to challenge you. You need to understand who you are in Christ. Every time I look out at you, I say, potential. God, there's such great and wonderful potential in our church. There's such great and wonderful potential in our community. Very few people possess this attitude. I want to encourage you. You are in Christ. Look what God said to Moses 40 years earlier. Just before the spies were sent into the promised land. Look at what God says to Moses. I'll get back to Joshua in here in just a second. Just a backstory. It's important. Because this creates the circumstances. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 8. Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your forefathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you have sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. Verse 11, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. Look, verse 12, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it. God loves that little strip of ground, church. We can see it right here. God loves that little piece of ground that's in the Middle East. From the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Skip on down to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's go to verse 23. Then the Lord will drive out all nations from before you. He will dispose greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Verse 24, remember this. This is what God's saying to Moses. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. You're like, wait, what, where did I hear that before? From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. God says, this is your land. Go and occupy it. Every place you put your foot, it's going to be yours to take. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. There are promises that God makes here. Those promises were good and they were valid for the children of Israel 40 years prior under the leadership of Moses, but they refused to enter into this promise. Moses was dead. That's the circumstance. With Moses dead, would Israel revert back to the mindset of a slave, or would they go forward with the mindset of a conqueror? And that was the question. This was not a done deal. They had a new leader. They had a new people. They had a new attitude. But would they have the bravery? Would they have the courage to step into their promise? Or would they be satisfied with living on this side of the Jordan, outside of their promise? So I believe many of us, because we don't have that conquering attitude, we settle for less than God's best. Church, don't settle for less than what God offers and gives to you freely. Amen? Well, that deserved a much better amen, but all right. Look at Joshua 1:2. Let's just go back to Joshua, to our text. I'm going to look just at the first part of this verse. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people. That was a command. It was just a command. God gives them a verbal command. It's not, well, if you feel like it or if you get around to it. No, he says, you go over this Jordan, you and all this people. Every one of you go across. We skip ahead in the story. Joshua come across the Jordan River. And the first obstacle they hit is the fortified city of Jericho. Now, think about this. That had to be an imposing sight for a people who had been slaves for 300 years and who had been a nomadic people for the past 40 years. Could you imagine encountering this city, walled city, imposing, and God saying, you're going to take that city? I mean, that would be a challenge. But God gives a command, and we understand first city falls because why? They were obedient. They trusted God. And that's the command of God. God says, go, and you will have victory. Church, that's something the earlier generation missed. And that's something I want you to see here this morning. If God says to go, he's not setting you up for failure. He's setting you up for success. Amen? Let's go to point number three here, the contract. God has a contract. Amen? There's a contract in this deal here. Look at Joshua 1:2. I'm going to start in the last part of verse 2. To the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. He says, I'm giving it to you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. That sounds like a contract. God says, I'm giving you this. This is what I'm offering. When you have a contract, you have two people giving something, correct? There's conditions. Look, he goes on. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God promised Joshua and the people entering the promised land if they obeyed his command. And they would take possession of the land. Every place they would put their feet, that ground would be theirs, excuse me. God made a contract with Israel. The contract, however, is contingent upon their obedience. They had to obey. God was just not going to, listen, they weren't going to waltz up to this every city. Every city was not going to fall like Jericho. In fact, you know, they just weren't going to show up and they were just going to give up. That wasn't part of the deal. But what God was saying is, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be for you. As you fight, I'm going to fight with you, and you're going to be victorious. See, sometimes we don't enter into that contract. We don't fulfill it because we just get lazy. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's work. It's a chore to serve God sometimes. You'll find times in your life where it becomes a chore. But can I just encourage you? You've got to press on through those moments. You're going to go through hills and valleys. You're going to go through dry spells, and you're going through spells of just where it's fertile, where it's just like, man, I want to stay here the rest of my life, but it's not going to be that way. Life has changes. Life is full of circumstances. But the good news is God never changes, and he's always for you. He's never against you. If you're his child, amen? Doesn't mean we won't experience difficulties. We will. I can't stand when preachers stand up and say, you serve God, you do this, and there's going to be no difficulties. Well, liar, liar, pants on fire, amen? I really believe this. When you truly give your life to Jesus, you start serving him, the battle's on. And sometimes all hell breaks loose before it gets better, amen? God says, I'm for you. I'm going to give you victory. Just obey me. Trust me. No man, no giant, no walled city, no demon in hell will be able to withstand you if you obey God, because God was for them. Faith. That's faith, is it not? I believe that's an expression of faith, them obeying, taking God at his word. Faith has many components. A lot of times people like to to focus on one component. They like to focus on belief. But faith is bigger than belief. It was belief, it would just be belief. But faith is something different. Biblical faith has a component of belief, but obedience is a component to that as well. James sums that up very clearly in his definition of faith, James 1:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What's he saying? Listen, I'm going to show you my faith by how I conduct my life. This is what I believe, and what I believe is it's going to govern how I conduct my life. That's faith, amen? See, this is obedience is so important when you come into contract, covenant with God. Faith puts us in contact with the promises of God. Possessing a conquering attitude, David possessed that. Joshua possessed that. They knew that giants were going to be before them, but they understood who their God was. And if they obeyed him and trusted him, and they stood in faith, they would have victory. And like Joshua, he knew the circumstances, but he knew the command of God. He understood the contract of God. He understood the circumstances, and he crossed over. He trusted God with a holy confidence. Next one I want to look at is the championship. Championship. Now, that word is not a made-up Scrabble word. Championships. What does it mean to be, what is a championships? What does that mean? It means to vigorously support. How many of you have ever been to a football game, you vigorously support your children? You are their champion, amen? It's championship. Throughout the Bible, God constantly offers us vigorous support. That's why you need to get in God's word. Sometimes you get down. Sometimes life will beat you. You need to get into the word of God and let it encourage you, amen? What does God say to Joshua? First thing, be strong, Joshua. Be courageous. He's like, come on. He's encouraging them. For to you, for this people, you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. He's encouraging them. Be strong. Be courageous. God has taken time to remind Israel before they cross over the river that he has commanded them to go, but he's going to encourage them as they do so. Aren't you grateful that God doesn't give the command? He goes, now go on out there, get them, and you're on your own. He's like, all right, there they are, go get them. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be cheering you along the whole way. I love basketball. I love coaches, and football's the same way. Baseball, I love baseball, but the managers are a little more relaxed, aren't they? But don't you love the coaches that are on the sidelines, and they are in it? I mean, I love the coaches that they're running down the sidelines with the guys. They are involved in the game. The guys come off the field, they're high-fiving. They may be in their face. He may be spitting mad froth in 1 minute, but the next minute he's high-fiving. He's headbutting them, and he doesn't have a helmet on. Don't you just love that? I love it. That's an encourager. That's an encourager. There's too much negativity in this world. Life is too short. And if you've got a negative mouth, keep it shut. And get yourself into God's word and encourage yourself. You have to take time to encourage yourself from God's word, or the circumstances of life will get the best of you. And you definitely will not be more than a conqueror. Luke 1:37, just a verse I wanted to select. Very simple one, very easy. For with God, nothing will be impossible. When God speaks to you, he promises, he reveals something in your spirit, you have to remember those verses. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Well, Pastor, it seems impossible right now. This seems over. This seems dead. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, it may not go the way you think, but nothing is impossible with God. If God's in it, no circumstance, no trial, no difficulty, no giant can withstand the power of God. And God is telling Joshua, don't forget that I am with you. Now be strong, be courageous. He's encouraging them. God is trying to remind us of something here this morning, that he is with you, he is for you, he has not forsaken you, and he will go through all circumstances with you. Hold assembly of God, be of strong and be of good courage. Amen. Number four, I want to look at commitment. Joshua 1:8. This is where it gets good. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Last Sunday I closed the service by reading some promises that God has shared from his word. Many of you came to this altar in response and stood on those promises. I encourage you to stand on those promises. and to stand on those promises and take God at his word. Amen? Let me ask you this. How many of you are still standing on the promise? See, I believe that number probably dropped off dramatically. Now I'm going to be negative Nancy. And that's because I know you all. And I want to encourage you, you got to keep standing. Amen? Listen, I want you to come and stand on a Sunday morning. That's great, but you got to stand Monday. Amen? You got to stand Tuesday. When hump day comes around, you got to stand some more. Amen? When you don't feel like standing, you've got to stand. That's faith. That's confidence. That's obedience. That's trust. And I want to encourage you to keep on standing. Amen? Complacency is given in to weariness. And our flesh loves to be weary. It loves to correct. It loves to, I just need to take a break here. The flesh, if you allow it, becomes our greatest enemy. And it opposes us from becoming conquerors. You know why? It takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. The flesh wants the easy road. But it's never easy with God. Amen? Do you know who misses out when we allow ourselves to become complacent? There's a whole host. Our families. Our church. Ourselves, our community, every aspect of our spiritual life loses if we allow complacency to come into the mix. God stresses this to Joshua and to the Israelites, stepping into their promise. He encouraged them to be committed to hearing God's word. Why? Why does God encourage us to commit ourselves to hearing his word? Very simple, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you get low on your faith, when you become complacent, when you become weary, the word of God encourages you. Amen? I'm not saying that the word of God is less inspired in other spots. I'm not saying that. But if you're looking for encouragement, don't turn to Job. Right? There are certain books you don't turn to. If you're looking for encouragement, head to the Psalms. Head to the Gospels. If you're looking for, and I know you can't be, you got to have meat and potatoes, I understand. But sometimes, if you just need an encouraging word from God, don't head to the books where you know it's going to be heavy. Don't head to Leviticus. Be wise about that. Well, I went to Leviticus. I went to Job. I just don't feel encouraged. We got to read the whole thing to get through it. I would suggest you do this. I don't know about you. I mark my Bible up. I have it highlighted. I have it color coordinated because I know that I can simply, sometimes I'm not really good at remembering exactly where the verse is, but I have a picture in my brain where I know what it is in my Bible. I know it's how it's circled. I know it's how it's highlighted. And I can just turn there. I know that I'm going to find encouragement in that verse because it's been where I've been before. Are you following me? I don't care how it happens. Get yourself into the Word of God. Amen? Let it encourage you. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 11, 18. What God was saying to Moses. This is something that God said to Moses before. They attempted to fulfill the promise. Almost the same thing that God tells Joshua, he was telling Moses and the people before. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. It's a reminder. There's things that remind them of the word of God. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. They're giving them object lessons. They'll be able to talk about God's word. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Verse 22, for if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command to you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you. And you will dispose greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar? And again, every place where your foot treads. What is it all contingent on? It's contingent on obedience. It's faith. And listen, your faith can get down because circumstances will arise and they will test your faith. And they will be a bummer to you at times. They will wear you out. A giant, a circumstance that just stands there, it seems to be a problem, a nagging issue. It will become a drain to your spirit. That's why you have to read the Word of God. That's why you have to study God's Word. Consume it. Study it. Read it. Meditate upon it. Amen? Church, we get so busy with things. There has to be time in our schedule for the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God, it's alive. It's living. It's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Times where you need to hear from God. You don't need to hear from your feelings. You don't need to hear from your flesh. You need to hear from God. And that comes by spending time in his word. We're flesh and blood. flesh and blood gets weak, gets weary because of circumstances. Circumstances arise, and we get complacent. We lose confidence in the contract of God, but the contract is always good. You know what? God will not forsake his contract with you and I. Do you know this? I'm not saying that we have a license to sin, because that's not what I mean. But can I tell you this? If you mess up, the contract is still good. You just need to repent and return to him. Amen? It's like that in anything. When God makes a promise to you, how many of you have missed out on God before? You've missed him. You've just totally spaced it, or you just totally gave up. Can I tell you this? The promises that he makes are still good. You just need to get back into contract with him. How do we do that? Sometimes we just need to get back into God's word and allow it to encourage us. The Old Testament, God commanded Israel to expand the kingdom of God within borders, physical borders, correct? You're going to expand the kingdom of God from the sea to the river Euphrates, from Egypt to Lebanon. This is going to be, you establish every place you put your foot in that territory, it's going to be yours. Can I tell you why? In the New Testament, we're not taking a physical land by force. Islam does a pretty good job of that, but that's not the way the children of God are called to establish the kingdom of God. We're establishing a spiritual kingdom, and we don't have to do it by force or coercion. Under the New Testament, there's still the call, there's still the command to expand God's kingdom, but it's in a different way. We expand God's kingdom in our lives, through our lives, through our nature, through our character, but we also are called to expand the kingdom of God into this world. And all I said right there was all set up for what I'm going to say right now. That was all cheerleading stuff to get to my whole point. Because this is what it's going to take to fulfill this part of this message. In order for us to fulfill our calling, fulfill the calling of expanding the kingdom of God in our community, it's going to take people who are conquerors. I want to encourage you, fellow conquerors in Christ, every place you put your feet, that ground is yours. God's promised it. That co-worker, and now I'm talking about people. Are you following me? Because that's where we expand the kingdom of God. The most precious commodity you have in heaven is a soul. It's not money. It's not fame. It's a soul. That a person that is going to hell right now is the most precious thing there is. God's desire. God sent his one and only son to die for that person's sins. So the territory we need to take is that co-worker. It's that child. It's that grandchild. It's that friend. It's that relative. It's that neighbor. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. They are a hellion. And they'll cuss me out if I start sharing Jesus with. Just love on them some more then. And don't give up and don't give. That's just a giant. You're allowing a giant to dictate your faith response, and you can't do that. God's not giving up on them. Why are you giving up on them? Church, people are counting on you to become more than a conqueror. There are people out there you don't know maybe that are counting on you to step up and to step into your position in Christ. God called Israel to establish a physical kingdom. God's calling on you and I to establish a spiritual kingdom. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We aren't called to establish his kingdom by force, but we are called to establish his kingdom by the word of God. Jesus gives us this example. How do we establish his kingdom? If we're not taking a sword out, if we're not beating people over the head with the Bible, if we're not forcing them to come to the kingdom of God, how do we do it? Jesus shares this in a parable. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse 22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who receives the seed on good ground, good soil, every place you put your feet. Are you following me now? Well, I hope so. He who hears the word of God and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, 60, and 30. We are sowers, amen? The gospel is the seed, the lost is the soil. Listen, again, church, we're not called to figure out the soil. Some of you try to figure out the soil too much. That's not your job. You can't get the soil right. Only God can get the soil right. All you are supposed to do is cast seed, throw seed, spread the gospel. Well, I don't know if I should put seed here. It's not your job to worry about where to throw seed. Throw the seed. That's God's business. God gives the increase. Some of us worry so much, we try to get this little piece of ground ready. You can't get it ready. Should you pray? Absolutely. Pray and ask that the Holy Spirit gets that heart ready to receive. But listen, if you think you got it all, if you think a person is ready, that person is not ready. The person you think is not ready is the person who is ready. You're not that smart. I'm not that smart. We're not that smart. Just throw seed, amen? Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Verse 19, go. 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 Go and conquer. Go every place you put the soul, every place you're sowing seed, every place you're spreading the gospel, that ground is yours. That's the way you should take it. That should be your mindset. That should be your attitude. And listen, don't keep going to the same spot and sowing seed and forgetting about everywhere else. Sometimes we do that. That's wrong. Can I tell you, you just have to sow seed everywhere. God gives the increase. God gives the harvest. Jesus had all authority, and he charges us as his followers to go. We advance the kingdom of God physically through soul winning. That's how we advance the kingdom of God in this world, is through soul winning. Church, I want to remind you again, the parable, the soil is the soul. We're the sower. And our job is to sow the seed. It's the gospel. I was reading an article about the fall of the Roman Empire. And the article cited many reasons why the Empire of Rome fell. All of them were valid, all of them were true, but one stuck out, and one that I knew in my heart, the most telling reason why Rome fell. Rome fell a number of years later, but Rome really fell in 1313. That's when Constantine made the Roman Empire a Christian empire. He may have done it for stingy reasons, and he did. He saw this, that the kingdom of God was advancing, and there was nothing he could do. I mean, listen, emperor after emperor tried to extinguish Christianity, killing, murdering, imprisoning, torturing, to no avail. If you killed one martyr, 10 more would rise up in their spot. There was no avail. So, and he saw a power vacuum. He saw something that would help him. And he did it for stingy reasons, but he did it because he knew this. The kingdom of God was going to advance against him anyways. Rome fell without a shot being fired. Rome fell because seeds were spread, and seeds multiply, and seeds grew. And the kingdom of God expanded. Listen, what does Jesus say? That the gates of hell will not prevail. Why? When people are sowing seeds, that's what's going to happen. Multiplication takes place. The soil, our soil here in our community is sandy, physically, correct? But the soil of our community is very rocky. It's rocky, it's stony. There's a lot of religion. But can I tell you this? You can say, well, that's not good ground, but you got to cast the seed anyways. If you're going to take that ground, if you're going to go into the New Testament, you're going to take that pea patch, all right, then you better get in that field and you better start sowing seed. Because I can tell you this, you'll never get a harvest without putting a seed in the ground. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, the recent story of John Chow. John went to his first mission trip as a teenager and discovered he had a burden to reach unreached people groups. And so he went to college, he went to Oral Roberts University. He studied, you know, he figured what he would do, and it's very wise to do this, obviously, when you go onto the mission field, is to find a career or some way to get into the mission field that you can have an impact on that, you can have a way to get into that mission field, especially if you're reaching unreached people groups. So have a skill, have a talent, have something you can do to help that culture and that you can introduce Christ. Went to Oral Roberts University, studied at a school called All Nations, which helped him prepare for his calling. John reached unreached, had a desire to reach unreached people groups. He researched, and he decided that the group of people he wanted to reach the most, that seemed to be the least reached, was the North Sentinelese people. They're often called the Stone Age people. It's located in a very isolated island, as you can see, between India and Malaysia. The group of people are very primitive and hostile. Very hostile. They're protected by the government because the government knows that these people will kill you if you step on the island. So therefore, you're banned to travel to the island. What John saw was what Jesus sees. He sees a people dying and going to hell. See, you and I look at that and say, that's suicide. But he looked at it and said, those are people who need Jesus. On his Instagram page, this is one of his last posts, he writes, "You guys might think I am crazy in all of this, but I think it's worth it to declare Jesus to these people." Child left for the mission field this fall. And he has a journal that he would keep, detailed journal. And he would write in the journal and as he began to make excursions to the island, he would write in the journal and he would leave it on the shore. He would leave it with his friend. On November the 14th, the day before his first encounter with the North Sentinel Island people, he wrote this, "God, I thank you for choosing me before I was even yet formed in my mother's womb to be your messenger of good news to the people of the North Sentinel Island. Holy Spirit, please open the hearts of the tribe to receive me, and by receiving me, to receive you. My life is in your hands, O Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit." That was his prayer. That was his hope. John paid $325 to some fishermen to take him near the island. And on that boat, he had a kayak. And on that kayak, they would only take him so far. And he would get on his kayak, and he had to paddle towards the island. And he was bringing a Bible. He brought gifts such as scissors, a soccer ball, fish, anything he could stack on top of his kayak, because he was wanting to bring this people a gift. He wrote in his journal, November 15th, "I rode past one and then saw a movement on the shore. Two armed Sentinelese came rushing out, yelling at me. And they had arrows, each unstrung, until they got closer. I hollered, 'My name is John. I love you, and Jesus loves you.' He wrote that he saw young Sentinelese fit their arrows in their bows, and they shot at him. One struck his Bible, and he fled and returned to the fishing boat. Later in his journal, John conceded, 'I'm scared. I'm scared. There I said it. Also frustrated and uncertain. If you want me to actually get shot or even killed with an arrow, then so be it. I think I could be more useful alive, but to you, God, I give all the glory of whatever happens. I don't want to die.'" On November the 16th, Chow writes this, "Woke up after a fairly restful sleep. Heading to the island now. I hope this isn't my last note, but if it is, to the glory of God." The boat drops him off, and no one knows what transpired. The next morning, the fishermen see the islanders dragging his body across the sand to bury it. His remains are on that island right now, still. Can't get on that island. They'll shoot. They're trying to figure out with the anthropologists, especially how can we get to his body and how can we return his body. His mom and dad are forgiving. They're Christians. They hold no ill will towards the people who have killed him. His body, their son's body, is laying on that island right now. I want you to just think of that. There's probably not one of you in here that are called to reach people like this. And you can look at that and say, people ridiculed the story. Do you know that? Stupid people. And here's why I say that. You say, well, he knew what he was getting into. Yeah, he did. And you know what? And so did every one of the first apostles. And so did everyone in the early church. See, we're just protect the souls. Listen, if you infringe on our rights, we sue you. I'm not saying that we give up our rights. I'm just saying, though, we don't live in a place that is hostile towards the gospel. Believe it or not, it's still not hostile as that. You say, what a waste, but you're wrong. And here's why. Because if you read stories about missionaries, especially missionaries that reach out to people and then give their lives, you know what often happens is that the seed is planted. See, he may have gotten only got out. We don't know what happened. We don't know what occurred yet. We don't know how long he was on the island before he got killed. He may have gotten killed immediately. He only maybe got out that sentence that Jesus loves you. And that's all they heard. We don't know. But here's what's going to happen. Missionary after missionary will get a burden, and they'll invade that island, and someone's going to get saved on that island, and it's going to change the whole landscape of that island. It will happen. It happens throughout history. One person paves the way, and others will flock, because they'll receive that burden that those people are dying and go to hell, and that his blood cries out. His blood cries out. And then it's going to cry out. And people are going to get the courage and say, you know what? Jesus has sent to me. I'm going to go and take the gospel because I'm more than a conqueror. You may not be called to reach people like this, but do you still have that same urgency, that same desire that same heart to reach people who are lost. Church, your Savior, your church, your family, your friends, your community, it needs you to understand that you are more than a conqueror. And you can make excuse after excuse as to why you can't share the gospel. But if you have breath in your body and you're able to communicate, you can share Jesus with anyone. And we need to get a burden for the lost. Every one of us. I think it's important, it's valuable that we send missionaries to overseas, but you have people right here in Holt that are lost and are dying or going to hell. They're as lost as last year's Easter egg, and it doesn't break our heart. And I just want to impress on you, if we really want to experience what God has for us as a church, it's going to involve soul winning. And that's going to take people having the courage to stand up and share Jesus. Amen? Even if you're ridiculed, even if you're rejected. It's just like dating, men. If the lady says no once, doesn't mean that's a strikeout. It means you ask again. Put on some more cologne.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life of the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and that your faith has been encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.